Talkback Jackson Sports, Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM. And let's head to the Ray Snell Sports Line, because no one knows Jackson better than Ray Snell, raysnell.com from Exit Realty First. We welcome back to the show Tom Knutson with our Knutson's Outdoor Report. Hey, Tom, how are things going for you this afternoon?
You know, they're not going too bad, Mark. Mm. They're going pretty good. It's a beautiful day. Man, what a beautiful Friday.
It is an absolute beautiful Friday, and we had a chance here at the radio station for us as a group to get out and enjoy the outdoors a little bit here today. It's beautiful, beautiful day, and a little bit of rain this weekend, but I'm optimistic that we'll still be able to kind of like dodge raindrops here and there and enjoy the weekend too.
Well, as of right now, it looked like it was going to be Sunday afternoon. So
good.
You know, by then you pretty much had your weekend covered. So
yeah,
let's hope that's where it stays, and maybe it won't even be much then. Because you know what, we're setting pretty good on rain now. We can back it down just a notch for the next couple weeks while we get a. For the next 3 weeks anyway, for sure, because
right.
I got a wedding on the 10th, so we got to make sure it's good on that day.
Right. Well, really, with the exception of last weekend, and I think last weekend was kind of a surprise, because it was supposed to be hit and miss, but then it just settled in and dumped on us all day long. But up until that point, it's just been kind of hit and miss here and there. I've gotten a little bit of rain, but it's been at times, either it's been at night or times when it's not, when I'm not really doing things outside. And I think that's kind of equivalent to others too. It's been, we've needed the rain, but we've had some, and it just hasn't been hitting it at bad times. So it's been a pretty decent summer so far.
So far, yeah. No, we had that stretch, right when you wanted it in July,
mm-hmm.
Where it got actually kind of dry, which was, that's kind of where you want it to happen if it's going to happen. We had a nice dry July. We've had a couple storms this week that dumped, quite a bit of rain, and we had that deal last Saturday, whatever that was.
Right.
And,
that's
moved out of the way, and let's hope that doesn't show back up for another at least a month from now, then we'll deal with it the back end of September when that kind of stuff is normal.
And I got to see one heck of a sight earlier this week. As you know, I live on Round Lake right here in Jackson.
Yep.
There was a water spout that turned up on Round Lake, crossed the tree line, and got pretty big over Farwell Lake. I had never seen anything like that in my life. That was a really cool sight here over the lakes.
And I've got pictures. I saw the video of that.
Yeah.
That was watch that pontoon flip 3 or 4 times. That was crazy.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, you didn't see the one off of Farwell that had the video of when it hit the pontoon. That was one of the guys that works here, relative, with lived right next door to it and had video of it.
Wow, was everybody okay?
Yeah, everybody. Okay. Yeah, nobody was in it. It was.
Okay.
I mean, it came right off a dock. I'm going to guess by the way it flipped that it was on the lift. And when that air got underneath of it, it didn't take much for it to start flipping it. And it got up there pretty good. I'm going to bet that thing was up there 30 feet before it came down.
Wow. Yeah, it was. It formed over our lake, and it just sounded like there was a boat running with no motor. It kind of had that whooshy sound to it, but it wasn't that big when it was over Round Lake. But yeah, it grew in size. Like a little mini tornado is what it was.
Oh, that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
It was a tornado that didn't get super big and it just kind of touched down. And I'm going to guess if it would have been if it would have been on land, you wouldn't have noticed it, because it would have not kicked up any dust, and you really wouldn't have seen it, other than some buildings would have been, in a tree limb or two. But because the water, it went up it very quick, you were able to at least have a view of what it was.
Yeah, it was really cool looking. But all right, so we've talked a little bit about the summer and the wet weather we've had, and it's 3 weeks left, 3 weeks in there before Labor Day. It's coming up quick.
It is. We're not that far away from Labor Day. Next week starts the big sale, next Thursday,
mm-hmm.
the 2020. Heck, I'm looking at a calendar that's got the wrong dates on it.
The 25th.
How about next Thursday, the 25th?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly the day I thought it was. And then, then a week from there, on the following week is the first Thursday. It starts a Thursday, which mm-hmm. opens up early goose season down here. So, first hunting season will start in 2 weeks.
That's crazy. And you guys, I'm assuming guys at this point, guys and gals, are getting ready for that and getting all the decoys and everything they need from you.
That tends to be a last minute charge. You know, it always seems to be more and more last minute. A lot of guys have the goose equipment, so they share that stuff a lot. A lot of guys group hunt now. It's not so many single, so you don't get big sales like we used to way back in the day. You know, obviously costs have gotten high too. But you sell a lot of ammunition. You sell a lot of licenses. Those first round of licenses, you know, everybody gets their waterfowl license and small game and gets rolling on that. So you get the activity going. You know, it depends on the weather. You know, if you got really hot weather, you know, people kind of like, you know what, it's too warm for me to go. But there are those like my son and his group who will hunt no matter what on that day. They'll do whatever it takes to get out there and try to get that goose herd that's out there.
And of course at Knudsen's you can get all that stuff, you can get the licenses and everything that you need. How are you guys doing on ammo?
Ammo's going to be the problem again. Waterfowl ammo is not going to be very easy.
Okay.
We've been struggling trying to find it, like a lot of people. Variety is slim to none. It's very, very, you know, it's very frustrating from an area of ammunition that never had a problem before last year. You know, it'll be 2 years come December, where we've never had a problem before getting waterfowl ammo. Always had plenty, always had, you know, everybody had it. Everybody had the models you wanted. It was never a problem. Then 2 years ago, it just disappeared. Kind of now starting to figure out what the problem is, and you know, it kind of makes sense. I heard that on these high school clay target leagues, that, you know, they've been around for about 10 years. It's the fastest growing high school sport in the United States. They are crawling up after about 10 years. They're climbing up to about 1 billion trigger pulls.
Oh, that's a lot of ammo.
That's a lot of ammo.
A lot of ammo.
And the growth that is growing about 20 to 25% a year for the last 3 years, the manufacturers can't keep up.
Okay.
And obviously when you shoot in that kind of numbers, they don't really care about waterfowl because those numbers don't compare, you know, even though the price per box is a lot less, but the volume is just so much greater that that's where they're focusing attention on, it looks like.
Okay. All right.
So it's going to take a while for them to get productions, build lines, do things that they need to do to get waterfowl back up to where it belongs.
Okay. All right. Let's talk fishing a little bit. How are things? The last couple times we talked about perch on Lake Erie, we were anticipating them crossing the line and getting closer to Michigan waters. Where are they right now on Lake Erie?
That kind of looks like the case at the moment. They're starting to crawl in there a little bit more. We keep hearing, you know, when people start asking me for emerald shiners this time of year, it tells me that there's no minnows and that there's fish.
Okay.
So that's starting to show up down there, which is fantastic.
Good.
Let's hope it, you know, keeps on going and they have a phenomenal fall run, because, boy, we could use a nice long fall perch run down there all the way into, you know, mid-October, 1st of November. So keep our fingers crossed that's going to happen. Fishing around here, you know, I mean, the lakes have been pretty quiet lately, so the fishermen should be having more access to, you know, the waters during the week for sure. School starts on Monday, so you're going to see a lot of cane poles showing up and deep water fishermen, because that's traditional. Once school starts or gets the first week after Labor Day, there's a whole group of guys that start coming out because they know the jet skis and all that stuff are, you know, pretty much done running, and they're going to have their lakes back.
Well, just even in the last couple of weeks, even though schools aren't technically back yet, there's so many kids that are involved in sports, band, other events. I mean, it's like they're already back. Because I've noticed it hasn't been as busy the last couple weeks.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
2 weeks. It's always the 2 weeks before school starts, you already start to see everything dwindle down and shut down and slow up. And, you know, frustrating as far as a state that caters to you know, tourism. You know, we don't have, you know, our great weather is very limited, and we have to, you know, we have to shut down and lose, you know, one of the best months of the year to travel and do things in, because we have to start worrying about school. It gets frustrating, but I don't know. I see some schools, I see Flint schools are talking about going back after Labor Day next year because it's just not working. The kids aren't coming back. Right. They're saying, no, we're going to come back after Labor Day. We'll see you then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, really, you know, you're talking 5-6 days of actual school before it doesn't make sense, you know.
Two of them are half days usually.
Let's go to work.
Right. Yeah. A couple of them in there are half days. It's not a full week of school. It's really.
Yeah. The kids aren't even at, you know, they know.
Right.
They know it's, you know, teachers aren't even ready to be back. But it is what it is. We'll deal with it and go on from there.
Right. Right.
What that does mean is that, you know, that the end of season preseason sale is about ready to start.
It's us. That does mean it's there. We're looking forward to it next week. And, of course, if you need the longer poles, need the cane poles, need everything you need to get out a little bit deeper to where the fish are right now, they can get you set up at Knudsen's. But another thing, with all the rain that we have had, that's cooling off the waters a little bit, are they creeping back? I haven't been out to fish much this week. Are they creeping back up a little bit on the feeding grounds, or are they still out deep?
Oh, I think you'll start seeing, yeah, for sure the bluegills will stay out for a while.
Right.
They won't come out until water temperature changes greatly, but the bass will, you know, is where you're going to start, you know, seeing them start coming in. I know guys are really hitting the pike hard.
Oh, really?
They're doing very well with pike.
Good.
So,
yeah, and those are probably still in the drop-off areas right now.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Those are still. Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot.
Okay. All right. So, now, are they using what, chubs, minnows? Are they casting for them?
Both. Some guys are trolling, but there's a few guys. I had a guy come in last Saturday or Sunday morning when I was working the store on Sunday morning, bought a dozen of, and he wanted big pike minnows, not small ones.
Gotcha.
He knows better. He knows that the bigger pike minnow is going to get him a bigger fish.
That's right. That's right. You might catch more of the smaller ones, but you'd be throwing more back.
Right. Exactly.
All right, so because when I was up north, I always went pike fishing up north, and we were throwing Rapalas and Daredevils out there if we weren't using a chub. What's the sweet spot down here? What are people using if they're casting or trolling for pike down here?
Well, same, pretty much the same things.
Okay.
They'll troll with Rapalas and different things like that. I mean, there's a whole group of guys that are called spoon pluggers. Buck spoon plugs is a thing, you know, for those that are really super technical.
Uh-huh.
And those guys swear by those things. But spoons, that type of thing, it's just slow trolling.
Right.
You know, I like using Yamamoto double tails. I mean, it's amazing because,
okay,
you know, they're big enough to get a pike, but, you know, still small enough to get some good sized bass.
Right. And it's a different type of fish that you're going to catch. If you're using that large chub, still fishing, you're going to catch that big lazy fish. And if you're casting, you're going to catch that one that's kind of amped up. It's going to give you a good fight.
Yep.
So, all right. So, before I let you go, Tom, I did see on Facebook a couple buddies of mine, they're having success in Lake Michigan right now.
That doesn't surprise me. That's, you know, we've got a lot of bait over there. The fish should be good. Another couple weeks, and then for sure that'll slow down, and then the rivers will start firing back up.
Right. Anything we need to cover before we run out of time here, Tom?
I think we got her, Mark.
Good
I think
deal.
We're getting ready. Just come on in next week, next Thursday, start for the big sale. Can't miss it. Big yellow tent that says sale on it.
We're looking forward to it. Out in beautiful Brooklyn is the Knudsen's Outdoor Report with Tom. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Talk back Jackson Sports, Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM.